This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Another episode of the Saints Block Party Podcast coming at you. Thank you for joining us on a Sunday night. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Ryan, did you do any?
Cinco de Mayo.
That one? I feel like that was very appropriation-esque.
Ovino.
Oh no, Ryan. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy to even go down. All I'm going to say is a rap beef in 2024 is just drastically different.
I think Dre dropped another one, but I ain't got time.
I'm done. I checked out. After Kendrick dropped the second one, I was like, you know what? Check it out of this, bro. Too old, Ryan. But thank y'all for joining us on a Sunday night. We appreciate it. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Football things are soon approaching. We do want to apologize for the technical difficulties we had. Hold on. Oh, the Twitter thing is working now.
Twitter.
So apparently it doesn't start until we hit record. So that makes sense. So all that said, sorry. We apologize about the technical difficulties we had the last podcast episode with the Spencer Rattler episode. We apologize. Sorry. It didn't go as smoothly as we wanted it to, but we'll work on it. But this episode, I want to give two shout outs. One big shout out to our dude G for the Chocobo Chasers podcast for suggesting this as a good podcast idea topic for us to do. Also, much love. I won't get too much into it, but I want to give a lot of love to Brian O'Rourke, who has just been like a fundamental pillar of support. He was our first sponsor that we had in terms of Vertimax a couple of years back. So if you hear this or you see this, Brian, just want to let you know from the bottom of my heart, we really appreciate everything that you are supporting the podcast with and the help. We greatly appreciate it. But football things are on the horizon, right? We have the schedule probably coming out in about 2 weeks. Maybe even sooner than that, because I think it comes out maybe on either this upcoming week or next week, probably next week though. And then we have rookie minicamp, I believe, from the 10th through the 12th for the Saints. And after like rookie minicamp and the schedule, and then there's like the OTAs or whatever, then it'll just be dead. It'll just be complete nothing until training camp. But training camp is in Irvine. In Southern California. And so really excited to have boots on the ground type of reporting, type of content. Listen, man, I remember the days of just being on Twitter, even before Twitter, being on Saints Report, just trying to get like any snippets, just anything, news, pictures, anything.
Who is that?
I want to be able, speaking of 2024, to be able to bring like legit high quality type of content to people who listen, follow us, whatever it is, and be
no fire Dennis Allen signs this time, bro. No fire Dennis Allen.
No, I won't. I want for the support, the listeners and the viewers of the podcast. I'm not going to do it. I gotta get the camera in there and get the not the super big lens, but at least one of my good lenses in there so we can get some good content. Wanna give just love. If you're watching us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you are along for the ride. Let's see. Mitch said schedule party Thursday. I don't even know what that means, Mitch. Who that first time on the live chat? Shout out to RG. Oh, Mitch is stateside. Got it. We have 11 viewers going, or 11 viewers right now in the YouTube who's watching. But this topic, before we even get to the cut trade candidates, let's talk about the whole Ryan Ramczyk like contract restructure. Now it's mostly incentives. I don't even know if Ryan Ramczyk is going to make the team. It's kind of fitting that we're talking about this on this podcast topic. I don't know what it means. It just basically most of his contract is pretty much just tied to his playing time and incentives. I believe Catherine Terrell reported it, Underhill reported it, and how his contract kind of got moved around. I think he's like a little over $1 million in his base salary. I don't know if that means that like maybe there's a chance he comes back, and if so, like I don't know how that will look in terms of. I don't know, man. It's a lot of unanswered questions that I have no clue about.
From what it seems like to me, he ain't playing, bro.
It doesn't seem like it.
It seems like he ain't playing. The structure of the contract is kind of like a straight up just in case. Like, what if, you know, as a what if they covered the way his contract is anyway, he wouldn't retire until like next season or something like that, or like a post June 1st. So it's one of them things. I think the story is over for Ramczyk, bro. It's crazy, man. Like, that's the end. There's reports out here that he already lost weight and stuff like that, and you know, slimming down. Like, football is over, man.
Trying to get like us on the Ram on the Adam Ryan diet right now. I see you, Ram. I see you, Ram.
I see you, bro.
It's just something about Ramczyk, Michael Thomas, obviously not in the same draft class, but I just think about just great Saints players, Saints players are just football players, right? Saints aside, like you put Michael Thomas or Ryan Ramczyk on any team in their prime, they're all pros. They're whatever, right? And to just maybe think that and Michael Thomas's career isn't over, but just thinking that like their career has kind of dwindled down just quietly. Like there's something just feels not right about it. And man, that's Michael how the game Thomas of football unsigned, is. Bro. I know, man.
It's crazy, man. It's just. I just wish that core, that new core, that came in under Sean Payton, like that final push. I really wish they was able to get a ring, man. Like I just wish
me too, bro.
Me too. AK Ram, Lattimore, Michael Thomas, you know. Marcus Williams, CeeDee Deuce, Cam Jordan. That would have been dope, man. Late career Drew Brees with the pew-pew.
Had him, would have had him too, bruh. DeMario. G said DeMario would have had him too,
Demo
bruh.
For sure.
I hate it, Ryan. Like it feels gross. And but that's, I mean, here's the thing. That's how sports are.
That's supposed, bro.
But there's all like you could say that that's how sports are, but with the Saints and the core that we're talking about, right? It all goes back. It all goes back to the no call. And this is not a podcast episode to relive the no call.
Please.
But I'm not doing it. I'm just saying the biggest difference between other great sports team that just didn't win a championship for whatever reason. Is they don't have the biggest sport like officiating travesty
ever. Like, of course, ever. The Saints would have the. It's like, okay, there's punting team. There's the, you know, did Dez catch it and all that stuff. There's all kind of little stuff like that people argue
Dez
about.
Dez didn't catch it, IMO, but anyway.
But I'm saying it's barbershop arguments still to this day. There's no argument with the no call. It's just one of the most blatant, just. Like it was a blow to the chest, bro. Like I don't forget that.
Shotgun to the chest, bro. Boom.
Literal depression. Literal depression.
2 weeks, bro. I'll never forget it. And the argument that people would like love to say after is like, well, you guys had an opportunity and I wanted to. You fucking idiots. If that call is called properly, that clock gets run down and a winning, like a more than likely a game winning field goal is kicked with like little to no time on the clock.
Not to rehash it, but I do think Sean Payton, because Sean Payton was out of his mind after that too. Like Sean Payton was gone, like mentally gone after the no call. And I do wish he kind of reined everybody in, like, okay, OT. Like, because it just seemed like after that, everybody was just, the dome was in shock. The team was in shock. Sean Payton was pissed, just still cursing out the ref the whole time. It just was, it was a mess.
The crazy thing is we're talking about Ryan Ramczyk, and like if he blocks Dante Fowler a little longer.
Yeah, bro.
Like that pass was wide. Like,
I was just thinking about the playoff games, just of that core that I mentioned, just that. Yeah, the no call.
Dante in the chat just said, how cruel is it that the dynasty started with the Minnesota Miracle and ended with the no call?
Yeah, the Minnesota Miracle, the no call. Then you had the Vikings upset. Kirk Cousins' only playoff win followed by the Tom Brady, you know, the very forgettable.
Jared Cook fumble.
Yeah, very forgettable. COVID game, whatever.
Someone said happy Kenny Vaccaro day. Wait, 3-3-2? Oh, I'm confused on why is it Kenny Vaccaro day. Cinco de Mayo? I'm confused. I don't know. Cam W might have to elaborate on that one.
Today might haven't heard in years.
Tony said, wasn't just a bang bang close play kind of thing that was easy to miss. It was travesty officiating. That's what I was just saying. Like the point I was making is that there are great sports teams in all walks of sports, football, basketball, baseball that would just, for whatever reason, just didn't win a championship and what have you. But none of them can really like they got beat. Like they got beat. Right. Although I don't know if you probably haven't watched it, but I did not know this until I watched the basically like the Redeem Team documentary on Netflix. That was really good about the Team USA that like got back on track and won a gold medal for the US in basketball. That had to be what, 2016? I don't remember what year it was, but no, it wasn't 16. No, that was 2008. Yeah, I want to say it was 2008. That Doug Collins was on like a prior Team USA and they had like won their, it was for the goal. They had beaten the team they were supposed to beat, right? I don't even remember what team it was. And time goes off and then the officials like reviewed it and found that there was like another like 2-3 seconds on the clock. There wasn't, by the way, the USA got jobbed. And then they played out the line, like the final seconds, and the team who was like down like scored and also was like an offensive foul, and like Team USA like loses in some of the most heartbreaking travesty ever. Like that's the only thing I've seen that's like relatable to the no call, because like that was like the clock said zero, bro.
Yeah,
clock said zero. But I felt like that was more kind of like, I don't know, like international officiating. Like it was like if you see it, you're like, oh, this is something's up. Anyway,
yeah.
Mitch. So I was talking about 2008 where the Dream Team won, but the Netflix special, like you see Doug Collins, who was on the team way back when that got job. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, it was Russia. Thank you, Shane. Yes, it was against Russia. So this all checks out. Anything else before we dive in? I will say this. We've got 19 concurrent viewers on right now. I'm excited, and also the planner in me can't wait to see the schedule release, bro. I need to see the schedule release because one, we got to do our schedule release episode, but then also it's planning time. We gotta figure out which game's going to be the third annual Saints Block Party podcast meetup game, see when the Chargers Saints game is for the West Coast meetup. And then I don't know. Oh, thank you, LZ. He said that was 1972. Whoo, against 1972 against Russia. That's deep in the Cold War, bro. So I don't know if we're going to be able to pull it off, but I don't know if Ryan still has that connection in New York potentially for lodging, but the UK guys, our dude, Mike, MK Papa, shout out to the Saint City and Me podcast. Make sure you check them out. Said that the UK guys want to come over for both the SBP meetup game, whichever game that's going to be, and potentially also the Saints Giants game. You've never been to New York.
Never.
If we could, I don't know if it's to the point where we just got to just pull together and just all get like a huge, nice Airbnb that makes it affordable for everyone. I don't know, Ryan. I don't know. But that would be such an experience to go to New York.
Oh,
man. Watch, oof, man.
Saints Block. Patreon.com/Saints Block.
Please. Please.
Start at $1 a month.
The only way that shit's going to happen, bro.
Only way.
Yeah, we completely went past May the 4th, bro, but I don't even like Kylo Ren, bro, but more, bro. Please. Brian, if you're listening, help us. I'm just kidding.
Please.
G said, we're going to place bets on what game we think the meetup will be. Man, I don't know. Hold on.
Late October, November, something like that.
Yeah. I just think he's just because I'm pulling up the home opponents who they're going to play at home. All right. So, of course, you got Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay. Then you have Cleveland, Denver, Vegas, Raiders, Rams, Philadelphia, Washington Commanders. I'm going to guess I would put money on either it being the Cleveland game, the Raiders game, or the Commanders game. That's my guess. That Commanders game is going to be pricey because Jalen, no, that game's also not going to work. See, this is the thing, the planner, things I got to think about. These are the things, it has to be affordable for everyone. And if it's the Commanders game, everyone's going to go and watch Jalen. And so I'm going to say either the Raiders game or the Browns game. That's my guess in terms of
watch Browns game, watching the quarterback that could have been.
Why is my uncle okay, the Dallas game is away, Ed. That's in Dallas. And Dallas tickets are also super freaking pricey, like Cowboys tickets. So, Justin said, thoughts on a Marshawn for Trey Hendrickson trade? I love Trey Hendrickson. I love him as a player. But then that gets messy because one, when you're trading Marshawn, you're taking on $30 million in dead cap space, and then you're going to trade for Trey Hendrickson, who wants a contract extension. So then you got to repay him. It feels like that's hustling backwards.
Hustling backwards. Getting rid of Marshawn is also hustling backwards.
Period.
But then trading him to bring on some other older player with more money is just like, what are we doing here?
When they cut a tree to keep him. Saints being booty means it would be affordable for everyone if you wait till the last second. Yeah, G, but when you're planning for 30 plus people, you can't wait till the last second, man. It's in theory, yes, but when you're trying to have so many people sit together, it's difficult. It just becomes
some tickets. Them tickets last year, you couldn't get them things away.
Couldn't give them away, bro. Rod, our dude Rod said the Broncos game is out. Yes, absolutely out. Justin says, what is fair compensation for a Marshawn trade? I mean, if you're the Saints, I think a fair compensation, if we're being honest, in my opinion, without being biased, would be a low first round pick or early second round or early round two pick.
Yeah. Agreed.
That is fair compensation. And if there's not a team that's willing to give you that, and like, listen, the Eagles and Lions both got their guys in that same range. And who knows? Maybe Terrion Arnold is going to be good. Maybe Quinyon Mitchell is going to be good, but maybe they're not, right? And then maybe they just would have had Marshawn for 3 years at, you know, at his peak and likely potentially healthy, and you know, maybe they would. But time will tell. Time will tell. Anything else? So schedule, but yeah, like Ryan said, if we're gonna do a New York SBP meetup, patreon.com/SlatesBlockPartyPodcast. You got the YouTube membership going, $5.99 a month. I'm just saying.
All that.
Whoo! It would be fun though. It's such an amazing experience. And kind of going back to when our dude Charles came from Scotland, first time in America, you know, time in New Orleans, all that. Not the same because it's still in the US, but you know, for people like yourself or whatever who haven't been to New York, it's such a like just different, man. It's just different. Man.
I can't imagine.
To just have people, you know, close to me get to experience that and just be like, damn, like this is cool as hell. It would be a very, very enjoyable experience. LZ says the Colts could be a sleeper team for Marshawn. I don't think they drafted a cornerback. They could be potentially. I think what's going to come down to Marshawn is two things. One, the Saints, I'll give them credit. They have been patient-ish in terms of letting this play out. And I know that Mickey Loomis got like on a, was it, I don't know if it was Adam Sheen, blocked. And just basically talked about like, you know, they weren't taking calls. I don't know. It was just Mickey talk.
He basically gave the, you know, factual but not truthful answer. You know,
there you go.
We're not shopping Marshawn Lattimore, which is probably factually true. They're not calling every 31 teams saying, hey, want to take Lattimore? No, probably not.
Right.
But they've made the adjustment to the contract, and the word is out there that he is available for the right price.
Right.
And they're hoping somebody takes him.
You know? Like, I was told that they – it's okay. And I think I've said this on the podcast. I know I've maybe said it in our Discord. So Howie Roseman, before round one started, called the Saints. I'm just going to stick to Saints news. Called the Saints asking about Marshawn. Don't know what the offer was. Don't know what it or anything like that. But obviously a trade didn't happen. What have you. The Saints, since this whole Marshawn thing's been brewing, have been pretty keen on getting at least a first, which again, to their credit is like a positive, because we've seen them get I'm not advocating for trading for Marshawn, but I'm saying if they're going to trade him, like the fact that they're essentially were holding out for a first is impressive. The thing that's going to kind of test time is kind of what happens when training camp rolls around.
Yes.
And it's twofold. If there's teams out there who gets an injury to cornerback and they maybe feel like Marshawn could help them, that's a route where maybe that first or that high second round pick becomes something that they're willing to give up. Also, I think something that's kind of like an underlying subplot too, and I can't stand him because he's a DB perpetrator, but like Xavien Howard is also a free agent. So if you're a team, you're like, well, do I trade a draft asset or maybe just pay and sign Xavien Howard? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the easy route to go. Also, I think the Saints are going to have themselves a question in terms of okay, if it's training camp, if he's still not shown up, maybe they're, you know, where they're wanting to get a first or maybe a high second round pick, maybe that lowers around just because he's not there.
That's the key. That's the thing right there. If he forces the issue and the, you know, the divorce papers are filed, pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Then it's just, you got to get what you can get. Hope it don't come to that. I don't think, I mean, he's not at voluntary OTAs right now.
Right.
Not a big deal. You know, he rarely comes to those from what I understand. But, you know, will he miss, you know, mini camp and all that? Probably. And okay. But once you start getting a training camp and then they get, you know, they get fined for that. So that's when the shit gets interesting. So we not going to know nothing, bro. This is just going to be something like a black cloud that's just hanging over the offseason until early part of September, I believe, is where the contract shifts and that option gets taken and all that stuff.
Right.
Once that happens, he's on the team for the year once that happens. So it's just going to be a cloud hanging over until then.
It is. It is. And I just hope, like, if you could just give me, like, one season of a healthy Marshawn, a Debo, Kool-Aid, Alante, Howden, Honey Badger, Sub-Zero. Give me one season of that. Just one. I want to see it. I just want to see it. Our dude Rod said, I'm not actively shopping. Sounds like a husband caught in a lie by his wife.
Hey, why gotta be a husband? Why gotta be a husband? Why is he lying to you? Just saying.
People, opportunity cheaters in this bitch, right?
For real.
Also, thoughts of adding a veteran safety like Justin Simmons? I'd be for it. I don't think Justin Simmons is like, he wants to sign with a contender, bro. Like, I don't know. Justin Simmons would have no onus or reason to sign with the Saints in his stage of his career.
And then it just seems like we talked about it with Cody Alexander when we had him on. Go back and listen to it if you haven't. It's just like what the NFL is doing now with safeties and stuff like that is just, it's weird, man. It's like they just throwing guys, just, they put us back there, bro. They put you and Adam. They put anybody.
Could you imagine, right?
Hey, bro. I cover the posts.
If, bruh, I think we could get like every Patreon we have for 1 month to just give us $100 just to watch you cover NFL post route, bruh.
Shit, boy, it's sweet.
Against someone like fucking like Jalen Waddle, bro.
Don't sleep on me, boy.
Bro, if I'll say this, bro. You get that PBU.
Oh, could tell me shit. What are you going to do?
Bro, you could give up a 60-yard touchdown next play, bro. I wouldn't care, bro.
I would be out there like Stephon Anthony. Damn.
Can we bring back Pro versus Joe's, bro? Can we bring back Pro versus Joe's?
Bring it back.
All right. Our dude Mark just got in the live stream. You missed us talking about Ryan being a free safety covering Jalen Waddle on a post route. That's what you missed.
Do it, man.
The Saints PBU podcast. Man, nah, man. I would just have to be a blocking tight end, bro. Like, I got the bubble butt, but I can't catch well. So just put me in 12 personnel, bro. Just have me. Call me Josh Hill, bro. Let's see. This is actually cuts and trade candidates. That's like the whole purpose of us doing this podcast. Again, shout out to our dude G for kind of bringing this as an interesting topic for us to talk about. Hope everyone can see it. I will make it bigger. No Diddy. It's still pretty.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, there you go. Zoom out a little bit. All right. Fucking ads, bro. Just ads. All right. That is... Someone, hold on. Let me see what Mitch said, because Mitch had said something. Mitch said he's very excited about Fuaga. More and more watching this tape. Yeah, man. He's a dude. And, like, this sounds weird to say, but, like, as a right tackle, his ceiling, like, I don't want to be used too much hyperbole. He could be, like, a top five right tackle in the league, bro. Like, that's how talented he is.
Yeah.
Like, no legitimately. Question. Legitimately. Okay. No question. So, always, big shout out to our lads who, again, been using it for literally since I...
Ever.
16, when I was living in Texas, bro, people was using our lad. So it has been a staple of looking up depth charts for NFL's teams and things like that. So I don't want to go through like players like, oh, you know, they might cut Equanimeous St. Brown, who's wearing number 13. There's still no thank you, Michael Thomas, social media post, I should point out.
Shameful.
But just legit, like, oh, this player could get cut. Oh, this player could get traded. Obviously, we know a lot of players who are on the team right now aren't going to make the team and make the final 53, right? I don't want to talk about Kellen Munn. I don't want to talk about Nathan Peterman. Don't want to talk about those players. I'm talking about like the spicy ones in terms of a cut or a player that may be traded that catches your eye. Now, I don't know if you need to look it over, or did you just have one just from the top?
Well, I mean, the most obvious one outside of Lattimore is Taysom Hill, obviously. They didn't touch his contract this year. Bringing in a new offensive staff that has no experience with them. I mean, his role was already kind of, I'm not going to say up in the air, but he was just kind of like Mr. Do-Everything. And he did everything, you know, to well. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, put the team on his back a couple times. But I just think it's up in the air, bro. He's 30-something years, what, 33 years old, you know?
Damn, I mean, is he 33? That's crazy. So,
yeah. And honestly, there's only one other team that would want him. You know, and everybody knows that. It's the Broncos. You know, and would they give up something for him? You know, Broncos, bro, you look at Broncos' weapons,
it's like Sean's last couple of seasons with us, bro.
Exactly. It's like, damn, Sean, come on, bro. Damn.
ain't learned nothing.
You got a rookie quarterback, you know, like, I could see him saying, man, let me throw you this little six. Or throw a player, or something like that.
If you throwing me a fifth or sixth for Taysom Hill, bro, I'm just going to hang up the phone. Like I would just keep him for a season, then cut him at the end of the season. So I've said this about Taysom. I've been consistent in saying it. So last offseason, when they brought in Foster Moreau, they signed Jamal Williams. I kept asking it, and then it got kind of confirmed out of the fact. I just kept asking, like, man, like they really are trying to address every role that Taysom played. And was told last offseason, after the offseason, that they wanted to phase him out. They wanted to either cut or more than likely trade him last offseason. They didn't end up doing it. And then they brought in players to take his role, whether it's Kendre Miller, Foster Moreau, the list goes on. And at the end of the day, just who Taysom is and how the offense was, Taysom was kind of that break glass and emergency player. And they were like, oh shit, we need Taysom on the team, right? This offseason's not over, but leading up to the draft, there was a lot of Taysom to Denver chatter, right? A lot of Taysom to Denver chatter. And just, now I'm not saying it, like even quarterback, just chatter. And I think there's still a want for the team to move on from Taysom, because what I was told is that the team does not feel like he is worth, I believe, his $10 million price tag. Now, what's funny is that they could say that he's not worth his $10 million price tag, but if you put the price tag together of Foster Moreau, Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, whoever else, all together, Taysom outperformed all of them.
All of them.
So I just from a logic perspective, it doesn't make, I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense. I don't know.
I really don't know, man. Like, it's really going to be up to Clint Kubiak to find a role for him, you know? Like, it's going to be interesting, man. Also, it's kind of up to Taysom. Like, does Taysom want to continue being that kind of break glass when needed type of guy? I don't know.
The excitement for when Clint was hired, everyone was kind of like saying, like, man, that Taysom could be that like Juszczyk role. And it visually, it makes so much sense.
It does.
We just don't know. I'll say this. It seems like the team and organization in front office listens to Clint, right? And whether that was, you know, Spencer Rattler was just the best player on their board in round five, just they felt like it was too good. But Clint also spent a lot of time with Spencer Rattler in the pre-draft process. And obviously what he said to some degree had to carry some weight. So if he feels like there's a use that he could utilize Taysom in his offense, I think there's a chance that Taysom makes a team. But what wouldn't make sense to me as a fan, the tight end room is kind of, it's very meh. We don't know what Kendre Miller is going to give you for a season.
Right.
If you cut Taysom or trade Taysom, it's the same thing I kind of was asking the season, like the last offseason, like who was replacing that production?
Right.
Like if you cannot name a player or a players to me that you can tell me who replaces his production, then if you want to get rid of him, just get rid of him at the end of this upcoming season. Like, it makes no sense to do it this season unless you're getting, if like Sean's like calling you and trying to give a fourth, then all right, I understand it. For like a fifth, a sixth, and like you're not replacing that production, man, nah.
We gonna see, bro.
Let's see what the chat is saying. We may just outright cut him. Sean may not have to trade for him. I don't know if they would outright cut him. I don't know. I know the team is just very kind of when it comes to Taysom. And our dude Tony said they had to bring in so many players to try to replace him. Says a lot about how valuable Taysom is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Why do they want Taysom off the roster? Would be exciting to see Clint with Taysom. It all goes back to what he's getting paid. Like that contract extension that he got like right before, like a season or so before Sean left. So Taysom, I believe he gets like $10 million a year, which if as a fan, if we see what Taysom do, like that $10 million seems like it's like very justified.
Yeah.
Whoever's working the Saints books, this is so not Kai, but like whoever's like managing the Saints money does not feel like he's worth that $10 million. Anyway, so Taysom, an obvious candidate. Our dude G brought this up in our Discord, and he texted me about it, and it made so much sense. He said, what about Pete Warner to the Cowboys for a third rounder. You have a team in the Cowboys who need, just have no linebackers at all. They have some problems defensively. He's fallen out of favor, I think, a bit. I mean, I think, you know, the Saints moves have shown you that he's kind of fallen out of favor maybe a bit with them signing Willie Gay in free agency. They drafted Ford from Texas. And when Dre told me that, bro, I was like, run me that third, bro. Run it to me. Like, run it third. To me.
Third, hell yeah, man. He's in a contract year. I run me a third, quick. I don't think it would be a third, though.
Be like a fourth.
Yeah, fourth. And I think you got to see how it plays out because, look, they brought in competition for him. They want to see if he steps up or not. And it's going to be interesting between him and Willie Gay. All sights on him, man. I could see it being one of those late August, early September trades if it were to happen. You know, like right before cuts happen and all that stuff.
Oh, like the CD Deuce trade.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, I'm for it. Like, again, I think so. The Warner thing is a little even different for me because, like, with Taysom, I'm saying who's replacing his production. Let me stop sharing my screen a bit until we can maybe get more on the defense. With Taysom, I'm saying who's replacing his production. With Warner, it's like, what production am I replacing? Right? It's like the inverse.
Yeah.
At least the last season and a half for Pete Warner's career.
And then, like I said, it's competition. Like, what if Willie Gay comes in and is just balling?
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, what if remember how, like DeMario started his career kind of, you know, up and down. You know, went to the Browns, went back to the Jets.
Back to the Jets.
Had like a real good season with the Jets, then Cam Dustin, then just all pros, you know what I'm saying, every year.
That's crazy,
not saying Willie Gay do that, but like what if he just comes and like fits in the system, Dennis Allen got him schemed up right, playing alongside DeMario, and what if he just outshining Pete, you know what I'm saying? That just makes it an easy decision then.
And then I don't know who said this. I don't know if it was, the Saints wanted to use more three linebackers on the field. Stop it. Like, it was someone on the Saints said it, like a coach said it.
Stop.
Okay. Stop. I don't know who the fuck you think I am to watch football this long in 2024. Please. You telling me you want three linebackers on the field? Okay. Please. All right. If it's not base, if it's not like a run-heavy set, please stop lying to me.
They'd be playing with one linebacker, bro.
Please stop lying to me. He said, unless we're getting to... Yeah, Demon Tom Slam said, unless we're getting 2021, Pete, ship him. G said, Peyton Turner going to Baltimore and then finally being healthy. don't think it would even matter, bro. Man would just be smiling in the Chocolate City, bro.
Bro, can you imagine if, like, Peyton Turner has, like, starts off, like, a little hot season, you know, as, you know, three sacks in the first month or whatever, and they get calls like they got for Davenport before the trade deadline?
Don't do this, bro.
Bro, can you imagine if they deny the trade offer? Peyton,
you know what's funny? I don't think they would for Peyton Turner. Because I think... Listen, man, this goes back to like the rookie season, right? There are people, I think players and or coaches on the team who felt like the injuries he had in his rookie season, and I'm not saying that they were or not, so please don't take this as that's what I'm saying. But there were players and coaches that felt like he could have played his rookie season after the coming of the injuries he got, and he was just kind of like, okay, this is not funny, but like the whole Baltimore thing, bro. Like now, like all I picture is like him on like the the boat that hit like the bridge, bro. But like, you know, the Peyton Turner picture where he's like smiling on the boat, bro. Just going right towards the bridge, bro. That's all I see, bro. I will say this. Since we're on both Peyton Turner and Isaiah Foskey, what if, oh yeah, no, the Saints didn't pick up Peyton Turner's fifth year option. Like, that's not breaking news. What if they just don't, like, you just don't see any, what if they don't see anything from any, either of them, training camp, preseason? Like, could you see them cutting either one of them or both of them? If it, like,
Foskey, no. I just don't see it. Even if he had like a horrible training camp, I still don't see it. Like, it's just, they're going to give it time. Peyton Turner, if he comes in and he's just injured and bad, not doing nothing, I could see them cutting him, bro. I could see it. Because, you know, right at this point, you're just taking up space. And don't let like one of the young bucks, I don't know who else on the depth chart, but.
You remember all that noise Legolas was making in preseason last year?
Yeah. Bring Legolas back, man. Shit. Taking up space. Come on now. Yeah, I could see Peyton Turner getting cut.
I could too.
Who mentioned Juwan Johnson as a trade candidate? I thought that was interesting.
It was our dude in the chat saying we like, if we're, you know, just a general question, if we would trade Juwan for a fifth or a sixth. I think G brought the point that I think you, at that point, like, I think because of the contract extension, like, it just seems like it's hustling, like one of those, another situation where like you're hustling black, you're backwards. And then I said this, and I know Max can't stand Juwan Johnson, and maybe he was right all along, but it creates even, like, the tight end room is not great as it is. That, like, makes it even worse. Unless you have a plan. Now, it's different if the undrafted free agent just comes in and just starts balling.
Hawker, yeah.
Now, if Hawker comes in and he's just looking like he's him, that's a completely different scenario. But unless that happens, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, man. It's hard to make major. Like, I know Juwan Johnson had his own struggles last year, but it's hard to make big judgments about the passing game from last season because it was a mess, bro.
Right.
Whole offense was a mess, man. Whole offense. And he turned it on at the end of the season just like Derek Carr did, just like most of the offense did. So I don't know. Let's see what this thing holds with Clint Kubiak and what he do, you know? Why am I cook this shit, bro?
He could. The cornerback, aside from Alante, discussion is very fascinating.
Very.
Especially with the selection of Kool-Aid McKintyre. You have Alante, who, like, I don't really even know how much you can take from Alante last season, being that he played slot when he maybe got, like, five snaps in the slot in training camp and had never played slot before, right? Literally the definition of throwing someone in the fire.
Right? They brought out upon New Orleans football. I mean, they were saying Alante, he really didn't buy into playing the slot till like halfway through the season. Because it's just like, he's an outside corner. That's in his mind, like, I'm an outside corner. You know what I'm saying? So he didn't really buy into, okay, I'm going to be a nickel quarterback. I'm going to be the best nickel cornerback I could be. He didn't really buy into that. You know, he's still battling those little type of immaturities. I don't know how he feels this year. Is he buying in? I don't even know where he's going to play. Are they going to put him in nickel this year? I assume so. Are they going to have him compete with Kool-Aid? I'm thinking that's what's going to happen. They're going to have him compete with Kool-Aid. Whatever's going to happen with Lattimore is going to happen. And that's it.
it's one of those things. And when I got told this a couple of weeks ago, it just blew my mind that outside a slot, if essentially that if Alante's not playing the slot, he's going to be a special teamer. That is potentially how the team views him. It doesn't make sense in my head. I know what I saw.
Well, who do you replace? Like, do you take a Debo out? Like, I don't know. What do you do?
That's what I'm saying in terms of this whole trade thing. If this is me potentially at Saints GM or us, I think the player that, if we're talking players to trade, one of the smartest players to trade that you could trade right now to me is Paulson Adebo.
Yes.
Because he has the highest trade value of probably anyone on the team. He came off a stellar year, and it's kind of inflated because of like the right receivers and the quarterbacks he went against, but it looks good, right? So you could sell that, though. Right?
Yep.
And if you could... You're not getting anything any more than a second. But if you get a second round pick from a team who needs a cornerback, he's in his last year of his contract. I like Adebo. He's a good player. But is Adebo worth essentially what a Jalen Johnson-ish in that range is getting? That's really where the question lies. Is Paulson Adebo worth that range? Or even a better question is Paulson Adebo a true number one cornerback?
Because
you got to pay him.
Got to pay him. That's what I'm saying. Got to pay him. If you believe he's number one, that means you're ready to pay him $17 to $20 million. Flipping a third round pick, he was a third round pick, and turning him to a second round pick before paying him, that's smart business to me, bro. Smart business. If you loaded at the position anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if that's something you could make happen, that's smart business to me. If you don't want to pay that money. You know what I'm saying?
G said the other side of this, what happens if Adebo is traded and Marshawn continues to get injured or play starts to fall off because of his age? It's a risk. It's a complete risk. Like that,
but they're still so deep. And you got Kool-Aid on the outside and a lot to play on the outside, the position he loves to play, you know? And then you got to hold that nickel again, but, you know.
Right. Demon Tom Slom says, can Adebo guard Mike Evans, Wilson, Diggs, child abuser, Justin Jefferson, Chase, Puka, Lamb? I don't think he can.
We saw it last year many times where we like, why is Paulson Adebo covering this scrub? Put him on whoever. Put him on Puka. I don't know, bro. I don't know. Maybe he can. I don't know. Like, Paulson is a good cornerback. And he had a good rookie year. Rookie year. Struggled with injury second year.
Mark said 8 years ago we'd be begging for an Adebo on the team. Bro.
Ain't that crazy, bro? Like, just things have changed. Begging for a Debo. Hey.
Please, the Debo. Please. I don't want to get the vaccine either. it's a good problem to have. And that's why, like, this is just, we're just talking, right? Because then, in theory, if you trade a Debo, you save money because you're not extending him. And then you could potentially move Alante back to outside and Kool-Aid in the slot. I just don't – it does not feel like the team either has a want or a preference to play Alante outside anymore. And I could not tell you why. Couldn't tell you why.
So weird.
Dante said we got a room full of cornerback twos and threes outside of Marshawn.
Yeah.
Probably true. Probably true. He said, y'all remember us start our Demon Tom Slime said, y'all remember us starting B.W. Webb, Sterling Moore, and Devonta Harris? Yes. Yes, Ghost Boy.
Sterling Moore, baby. Sterling Moore. Down OBJ.
Man, we got beaten. This man was put the caption on Instagram. No, I ain't even mad at it now, bro. As a fan back then, I was annoyed. Now, man, you know how hard it is to get an interception in the NFL? Go ahead, post your shit, Sterling. I don't care.
I ain't a good game. I don't know about y'all.
How many sacks will Brian Breesy have this year, in your opinion? I'm gonna put it like this. 5.5, over, under.
Over.
Ooh.
Over 5.5.
You getting over 5.5 sacks from your interior defensive tackle?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. I say he had probably like 6.5, something like that. 7.
Man, that would be great. What players would you potentially like to see us look at trading for? Anyone at tight end or at safety? Man.
I don't know if I want to give up any picks right now.
I can't. Like, there's no one who's, like, just standing out to me. Oh, I have one. You ready for this?
I got one, too. Go ahead.
Oh. Only because I know that they wanted to move on from him after Dalton Kincaid was drafted. Rummy Dawson Knox or Dawson Knox.
Ooh, like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
I would be willing. Now he's a little older. I guess it depends on how you feel, how close you are as a team. I'd give up at least a fourth for Dawson Knox. At least. Go ahead.
How about give up Paulson or Debo?
Okay, I'm listening.
For Knox and like a fifth.
I'll do that. The only thing that... This is our podcast.
Maybe a third. I don't know.
No, because if you put in a Debo in, wait, we're getting Knox and a third?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes. Running to it, bro. Running to it.
Go ahead with yours.
So if that happens, I'm assuming... Here's the crazy thing. Even if they made that trade, I think they would then look at it as the outside corner still being Marshawn and being Kool-Aid. I think they're that against playing Alante on the outside. That's how they would try to do it.
It would make sense, bro. It would make sense. And I was saying, how about Taysom, straight up player trade, Taysom for Greg Dulcich. The Broncos.
You know what's funny? I'll be
from the Senior Bowl.
But he's been his hamstrings just toe up, bro. I wouldn't do it. And I love Greg. He got like the Marshawn Ohio State hamstrings, bro. As a pro, it's bad, man. I wouldn't do it. But that Demon Tom said a lot more for Kittle in the third. I don't want that contract that comes with Kittle. Mm-hmm. And you have Lattimore's dead cap space. I'm good. But the Dawson Knox thing stands out to me because you have a player, and the Bills are probably never going to come out and say this, but I know for a fact that they were interested in trading Dawson Knox last season after they drafted Dalton Kincaid. I'm calling Brandon Bean. I'm saying, listen, what we got to do to get Dawson Knox? Because then we've talked about this tight end room being kind of meh, right? Then you're taking pressure off of Juwan Johnson. Now he don't got to be tight end one. He can just be tight end two, bro. Just play your role, get open, make plays. Then the offense, in theory, right? You got Dawson Knox as your tight end, Olave, Shaheed, Juwan Johnson, your tight end two, hopefully a rejuvenated AK. Fawag at right tackle. Don't know what you got left tackle yet. That offense just, hashtag on paper, if you could just get like a conductor that can just make some good throws when needed, I don't know, maybe like a Spencer Rattler. I don't know, Ryan. I'm just saying the makings of it is there. Like, you think about that offense, it gets you to tingle a little. Just a little bit, bro.
No, I take it.
Anyone makes no sense to trade anyone out of the best cornerback room. Lattimore trade talk is ridiculous to me, but then I realized the Saints are known to give up best players anyway. I mean, yes, all that 100%. But also, too, the thing that the Saints are battling is you have a star player at a great position who's been a star for a long time for your team and one of your best defensive players, who essentially has essentially communicated to the team that he does not want to play for the head coach because he feels like the head coach is, I'm not saying this is verbatim, but like head coach wouldn't know what he's doing. And the man's 24-46. So I would probably side with Lattimore that he knows what he's talking about. Right. And we've talked about it numerous times on this podcast. When you go from filet mignon or A5, and then you just, you know, no offense, but then you just at like Ruby Tuesdays and you eating steak for Ruby Tuesday, like it's not the same.
Well done Ruby Tuesday steak. Yeah,
with A1 sauce just dumped on it, it is not the same.
Like so Corral, we,
so anyway, I would put Alante at safety and Kool-Aid in the slot. I would love for them to try Alante at safety. I would love it, bruh.
It'd be interesting.
I don't know. I would just, that's what he played in Tennessee. Demon Tom says Knox stock has to be an all-time low. Probably around the same level of Andrea Knox, bruh, when she was convicted of a crime. I don't know, Ryan, but it's probably pretty low. Anyone else? Let me pull this up again. I think we're talking about cuts, and it wouldn't be a crazy cut or anything, but I do think like Lou Hatley, maybe with the punter that they got, bro, like he might be out.
He don't notice.
But he had like that we saw, you know, I have a sneaky one for you. It wouldn't shock me at all if they cut Nate Shepherd.
No, they won't shock me. Yeah.
But I don't like what. Let's what see, did what, he?
What's the D line looking like?
G said, if it's that low, maybe we convince them to take Jamal for Knox. I don't think it's that low, G. Oh yeah, that's a cut. That's a player we should mention. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all if they cut it, Jamal Williams.
Tano getting up there.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Send me a cut. Man, our D line is ass. Man, it's
I know Saunders and Shepherd are right there, but like honestly, that to me is like the future of the defensive tackle right there.
Oh yeah.
Reese and Boyd. Yeah. I think Boyd could like come in and just have a very impactful season, man.
Think so, man. Early, I mean, because that. This is hard to learn, man. It's not to learn, but like, you know, just woo. You got it. You playing nose tackle, boy. You right there in the midst of the fire.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but the talent on tape. I get it's a jump. All that the talent on tape. I trust him as a player. I trust him that I think he's going to have some type of impact this season. Oh, completely forgot that he drafted the special teamer, not drafted, sorry, signed like that special teamer guy from who was with the Commanders, Hudson. Oh, yeah. No, I think we kind of hit them all. No one else really kind of standing out there. We hit Peyton Turner. I think Jamal could be gone. Yeah, we hit him. I would just love to see. Could we just see what we have in Nick Sotoverde?
Because
it's Cinco de Mayo. Please, man. It would be nice. Are the Saints entering a soft rebuild, similar to what the Bucks did last year with eating all the dead cap?
Yes.
They are. Like, and I think if you listen to what Mickey has said in pressers, like as much as he has said, like lied blatantly in pressers, you get the sense that yes, they feel like they are in a soft rebuild. They're trying to do a soft rebuilding of their cap situation. And a big, like very underrated storyline, maybe not too underrated, is like the whole Derek Carr thing, because like if he has a similar season that he had last season, and if it's still like very inefficient and kind of like very hot and cold, like they could get out of his contract at the end of this upcoming season as a post June 1 casualty, bro. They could save some money, bro. Money, Ryan.
Interesting, bro. It'd be interesting, man.
Start Boyd and let him take his lumps. He even has some pass rush. That's why this whole training camp preseason is just going to be so fascinating, because it's not so much on the defensive side for preseason and training camp, but like the offensive side, like it's completely new. Everything about it is going to be new. Clinton Rattler 2025. Man, that sounds like a red state, bro. Like just got the flag on it, just a red shirt. Clinton Rattler 2025. Big ass American flag.
I'm voting for Clint.
That's some Louisiana shit.
Big time, bro. Anyway, Brian said Saints running the don't tread on me offense. If you saw those offensive lineman picture from the fish thing, yes, that's exactly. Can we get my MAGA right tackle or guard Landon Young in there, bro? Like Landon Young was looking good, bro.
Come on, Landon. Big C's out there, big C's. Exactly. So
just a steady, okay guard, bro.
That's what I aim to be in life right there, bro.
The steady, okay guy.
It's okay, but, bro.
Thank y'all so much for just joining us this Sunday night. I think we got up to, I don't know, 30, 35, I don't know, 30-ish concurrent viewers.
On a Sunday night.
Well, Cinco de Mayo, it's what? It's late. You know, it's like 11 p.m. where you are. It's 9 p.m. where I am. So just the fact that people got on and just chopping up with us talking Saints, it was a fun episode. We enjoyed it. Football is approaching slowly but surely.
Yeah,
it's approaching. Very excited to do the schedule release episode. You know what? Before we go, imagine a world where the Saints didn't have DA as a head coach. It's nice to hear the fantasy talk till DA shows he can coach situational football. It doesn't really matter who's on the field. I 100% agree with you.
Hey.
Because I just the last four games in the season. Maybe because I was there, cannot get that Rams game out of my head. Can't get it out. Mm. Like it was like that was a snuff film, like a snuff film. And in my head, I was just like, if they can't get past, if they get embarrassed like this by these guys, like we are not even in the same category tier of other teams.
And the Rams last year were like, they were kind of a, you know, they were rebuilding team themselves. You know what I'm saying?
They were like a plunky team.
And we look like we belong on the same field.
Same field, bro. Like that. That's the thing. Again, since the draft has been pretty hopeful, bro. But like that just burnt in my mind.
Clint, let me ask you, Clint.
I'm voting for Clint. I'm going to ask you this question. This was asked to me, and it was a very fun, and I had to think about it. Thought exercise I had to do. I'm going to ask this to the chat, too. Are the Saints a top 10 team in the NFC?
I have to list them out.
Hold on. Let me do it. I'm pull them up. I'm not going to spoil. Well, that was dumb. I'm not going to spoil where I had them. So I have the NFC teams up, right? So you have, hold on. So a top 10 team in the NFC. You have the Cardinals, Falcons, Panthers, Bears, Cowboys, Lions, Packers, Rams, Vikings, Saints, Giants, Eagles, Niners, Seahawks, Bucks, Commanders.
Let's list them out. Okay, let's start with the top. 49ers will be number one.
Wait. Oh no, just go from the list. Don't go from the top tier teams. So like I'm sharing my screen. Those are the Cardinals, Ryan. You said the 49ers.
No, I'm trying to think. What? Like you're saying, are the Saints a top 10 team? I'm trying to list out the best.
Okay. I thought we were just gonna go through. Okay. Got you. Okay. 49ers.
49ers. Lions. Eagles. Green Bay. Who will go next? Cowboys.
Yep. Rams.
Rams.
That's six. So then it goes, are the Saints better than the Seahawks?
New staff.
Just talent wise.
Who was the Seahawks rookie last year? Did they make the playoffs last year?
No. I'm going to say that the Seahawks are better. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Think they're better? Yeah. Okay. I'll give it to
Seattle. So wait, are we at seven?
Yeah.
Okay. The Bucks Tampa won the Bay division last year. They won the division last year.
Saints lost them in that last game though.
Dang. They did.
Okay, Tampa Bay is number eight. Who's number nine?
Vikings. Are they better than the Vikings?
With JJ McCarthy?
They was winning games with the guy who got demoted to emergency quarterback, Ryan.
Okay, let's give it to the Vikings then. Okay, now we're at 10. Who else?
I had them when I did this exercise a week or week and a half ago, they came in 10th for me.
I put it like this. They're in that tier. The tier of the Vikings, the Seahawks, the Bucks. Like they're in that sphere. So they're a top 10 team barely. In the NFC, which is a weak. Like the NFC is extremely weak right now. So, like, if we expanded this out.
Dante's hit no hair, NASA cooked us. Why don't I want to call him Ryan Shazier?
Ryan Shazier snuck back in the NFL, man.
Talked about this at the draft party, bro.
Snuck back in the NFL, man.
Went from being paralyzed to, like, just running all over the Saints defense, bro. And cheating on his wife at the same time.
I still can't believe Jameson. I can't believe he threw that ball.
Yeah, so I had them right when I did this episode or did this exercise. I had them right at 10. Like that's where they came in for me.
If we spanned this out to the whole NFL, it'd probably be in the 20s. So
yeah. So let's do it. Let's wrap it up. Let's do it. So are they better than the Cardinals? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Better than the Cardinals. Even with Kirk Cousins and all that, I'm saying that they're better than the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than the Panthers. This is the one I struggle with. Are they better than the Bears right now, though?
Right now? I mean, I got to see it, but. On paper.
I would, if we're just talking just on paper, I would put the Bears.
I'll put the Bears ahead.
Yes. Okay. Then every other team, they're better than, I'll give them, they're better, being better than the Commanders, right? So out of out of what, 32, I can't do maths, 16 teams, they came in what, like at 12th? If I'm doing that math correct, because we put the Bears, okay. They're not better than the Ravens. They're not better than the Bills.
Oh.
They're not better than the Bengals. They're not better than the Browns. Broncos, I would say,
they're
better than them talent-wise. Coach-wise is different.
Not coaching, no.
No, no, no. Houston?
Texans?
No. Colts? They beat them last year. They beat them, but without Anthony Richardson, I'll give them the Colts. Okay, I'll be generous.
I'll give them the Colts.
Jags. They're probably a lot closer to like the Jags and I'm gonna say no just because the Jags beat them last season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chiefs, no.
Raiders. Talent wise, yes. In terms of like, other than that, coaching wise and stuff, I don't know. I'm gonna say right now, I'm gonna give them better than Raiders. Okay, be generous. Yeah. Chargers, no, bro. With Herbert and Harbaugh, no.
No.
Dolphins, no.
No.
Patriots, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Is it a healthy? I'm going to imagine a healthy QAnon Rodgers. I'm going to say yes. No, sorry. I'm going to say no. They're not better than the Jets with a healthy QAnon Rodgers. Steelers, yes. Titans, yes. I've lost count.
Me too.
That puts them like
20th in the league. With them.
Bro, now, it was worse than 20th. That's like 25th, 26th.
I mean, I saw the Athletic had the Saints like the third worst team in the league. I was like, third worst.
Just doing this thought exercise, they look to me, they feel like 26th, 27th worst. But like at that point, like you're splitting hairs a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. About the 24th worst 24th, team in the league.
Somewhere around there.
They did win 9 games last year, though. 9 games.
The easiest schedule in almost like NFL history, but yes, they won. They won. That sound like a DA Mickey statement. But we won 9 games.
Look, I'm sure DA said that right now. We won 9 games.
Yeah. Anyway. Fun thought exercise, but thank y'all so much for the support. We appreciate it. This episode went a little longer than intended, but it was fun. Just talking about trades, cuts, where the Saints ranks in terms of the NFL and the NFC. And we'll see, man. Like, here's the thing. Like, that's the thing about sports. All it takes is just one thing to just maybe go right for a team in a season. And that could be, like, maybe I'm just being like super fan, but I just can't have like this. There's this envision in my mind of just Spencer Rattler just coming in and just like looking like I'm saying in training camp or in preseason, it looks close. Like if it's close, start the rookie, bro. If it's close, start the rookie. Cause like as a team, if you were gonna trade up for Penix Jr., like you already to me are signaling what your actual thoughts are about Derek Carr.
Already emotionally cheating. You're emotionally cheating already, bro.
You know what they say, that's sometimes worse than the physical. Uh oh. All right. Let's not get started with that one. Anyway. Cheat, Saints. Cheat.
Do it.
Anyway. We will be back maybe this week, maybe not. We'll see. There are kind of things kind of – if y'all have topic requests, ideas, we could just even do like a Q&A, man. Like, we'll see. Even if it's like
trying
a short Q&A.
Trying.
We trying. Maybe I'll hit up our girl Catherine Fisher, very talented person working in the entertainment industry out here who's a Saints fan. She fell in love with New Orleans after living there for a long time, and she still has a place there. Like, she has a place in, she lives here and has a place in New Orleans that she like just doesn't want to sell, because that's like home to her. Like, that is a love letter in and of itself to the city of New Orleans. So maybe we'll hit up Catherine Fisher and get her on, just talk Saints and entertainment industry and things like that. But we appreciate y'all for joining us and all the laughs and everything. We'll be back this week. Please, I know this is at the end of the podcast, but please like, subscribe, all that on YouTube, all that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. We appreciate it. We love y'all. Appreciate y'all. With that, we're out.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.